This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, Babylon 5, that was a sci-fi TV series created by J. Michael Straczynski, who's also gone on to do comic books and such. And he was one of the producers of Sense8 on Netflix. In any case, working with the people who directed The Matrix. Isn't that interesting? But you're saying the concepts, of course, I think were more advanced than most sci-fi shows on TV. And maybe that hurt its total audience, but as you say, it's dated in what respect?
Well, the special effects are getting kind of old now, but yet I think it's relevant to the discussion because, Miguel, like you were saying, maybe their intent is to sort of guide society in a particular way. And, of course, in Babylon 5, you have these alien races that have been doing exactly that with humanity kind of from the shadows for the most part until we reached a certain stage in our technological evolution where we made contact with the, what they call the Vorlons, which would be sort of the analogy to the, maybe the good guys we think at first. And then the shadows are kind of the evil ones. And the whole control system is that the shadows believe that our evolution was better facilitated by struggle and suffering and challenges that normally we would consider bad things, but that made us stronger. Whereas the Vorlons were more about enlightenment and following their particular version of what they believe is the way to evolve into the future. So this whole control system seems to actually be kind of like that. We've got this alien something presence in our world that is driving us to think in certain ways. We've got, on one hand, we've got the ones treat the planet better, be better to each other, be kinder, stop building nuclear weapons, and so on. And then we've got the reptilians who are supposedly, you know, these in our governments controlling our states of affairs. Interesting situation, eh?
Back many years ago, in the 50s and 60s, one former sci-fi editor, controversial sci-fi editor, who, by the way, his name became a comic book character, Ray Palmer. Okay? Ray Palmer said, "Flying saucers are here to make us think." And that summarizes sort of what you said there.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the most valid ideas in ufology, the idea that the whole purpose of the phenomenon is to make us think and make us reconsider our notions about reality, you know, to remind us, you know, once in a while. It's kind of like a memento mori or memento absurdum, we could say that. Remember, you know, you really don't understand anything about the world, you kids. It's something like Dennis McKenna mentions when he had an experience during an ayahuasca session and he felt himself like being the size of a drop of water inside of a plant, and he managed to experience the whole process of photosynthesis and evaporation of the water and then going outside of the plant and observing the majesty of all the life that existed in the rainforest. And he had a very distinctive message that he felt was being given by an intelligence outside of him. And the message was, remember, you monkeys only think you're running things. And that to me was, it's something that has always stuck with me. At the same time, the level of humor injected in the message, also certain arrogance, certain superiority, like, remember, you are less than ants in this scheme of things. You think you're in control. You really aren't. There's something else that is running things.
That is so valid. I mean, the whole illusion of control. So many people are just hung up on control and think that we make decisions and that we are essentially in control of our destiny. But when it comes down to it, it all seems like an illusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In our Western culture, the thing that we are taught to value the most is our individuality. You know, the idea that, yeah, we are here, we are our consciousness. I am I. There's no one else like me. And I have to think of number one first and foremost. But that's not the way that other cultures function, you know, and maybe that's not the way that we should. Maybe that's something that we should try to move away in the future in order to survive. There's a really interesting lecture given by Grant Morrison. I think it was given in the year 1999 or 2000 and at the Disinfo conference, in which he said that the ultimate outcome of individuality is neurosis, right? All of us being too worried about ourselves and then having to cope with our individuality, and then how we cope with it. We cope it with drugs, we cope it with antidepressants, and they don't really do the job. And maybe trying to think that our individuality is not that big of a deal could be a more sensible way forward. Like, even one of our main worries as sentient beings that are aware of our own death, our future death, is we're worried that our individuality will be able to persist after our physical bodies cease to. And maybe that's not the way that happens, you know, that maybe we should think of consciousness as some kind of like big wave, and we are like small bits of foam riding the crest for just a little while.
Sorry, okay, please continue. Don't let me cut you off. I just finished that thought, because we're so on the same parallel path there. These little bits of foam riding the crest.
But just for a little while, and then the wave recedes into the ocean, and the foam ceases to exist, but it's still part of the ocean, still part of the water, you know?
Okay, this is really cool, because that's essentially very much the way that I look at the issue of consciousness. And again, we've got a whole thread on this on the forum that goes into a lot of these concepts in quite some detail. But the ocean, then, in this analogy, when we were talking about control, is so large that if we're just in a little boat or something like that on the ocean, we get this illusion that we've sort of got some control over it, but we don't. It is so large and so deep that we're just lucky to be up there floating on the surface. And so I kind of use that same analogy about the wave, that consciousness is this disturbance just on the surface, and that we're kind of like surfers, maybe, instead of foam, where we have a little bit of choice, maybe, you know, which way to go and experience what it's like to ride that wave. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's part of the ocean that we don't have control of, and it's going in a direction that we don't have any control of. We just ride that wave until it breaks on the shore, and then that ride is over, and we fall asleep, and the next day we wake up and we get back on it, and we try our best to stay afloat.
Yeah, exactly. You know, more and more exploring all these ideas about consciousness, about, you know, entertaining the idea of panpsychism, that everything is endowed with a certain amount of consciousness, not just on the micro level, you know, that maybe thinking, well, maybe an electron has a very primitive and very limited amount of consciousness, but maybe even something like a star. There's something that Rupert Sheldrake explores in one of his latest books. What if our sun is also conscious? You know, and to the sun, we will be, you know, just less than mosquitoes, you know, because of the amount of time or the small amount of time that a human being exists on this planet, with compared to the billions of years that our sun has existed.
We are exploring the frontiers of reality with RPJ, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey guys, it's Sue Costner, your favorite sexual health expert, with another version of Ask the Pro. This month, I got a letter from Sandy in Seattle about an explosive bedroom secret she and her husband recently discovered. She writes, "Dear Sue, my husband and I used to have a great life in the bedroom, but in the last few years, he has struggled. He's tried about everything, but nothing has worked. Then one day he came home and gave me a night I will never forget. He told me about this secret formula, Noxitril, that changed our life in the bedroom once and for all." Wow, Sandy, you beat me to it. I recommend Noxitril to every guy that struggles in the bedroom. It's the only one. Noxitril is all natural and works to increase blood flow fast. It's like that little blue pill on steroids. Noxitril has a special free bottle offer, shipped discreetly to your door.
To find out how to get your bottle of Noxitril, call 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954. Get your free bottle for a limited time. Call now. 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I got this bald spot. It's thinning everywhere.
I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude. Put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT 88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT 88 to 85850. KIT 88 to 85850.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So to the sun, as RPJ says, perhaps we're no more than bugs.
Mm-hmm. And not really conscious at all.
The Egyptians used to worship the sun. It was a god. It was thought of as a living thing. maybe there's some truth to that. We get into the, this is really interesting that you should bring this up, the idea that maybe even electrons might have some element of consciousness, because one of the things we've been bouncing back and forth on the consciousness thread on our forum is the idea that consciousness exists in quanta, just like light is a particle or it could be a wave, that maybe consciousness is the same sort of thing, and that when enough of it is gathered together and becomes coherent, then it manifests itself in the experience that we have in life.
And interesting, like a locus into the sea of consciousness that manages to emerge for a given amount of time, and depending of how big that locus is how big the amount of consciousness of a given being, right?
Right, yeah, like one of the things, and of course the guys on the forum, they really don't like it when I use this analogy because they've heard it so many times, but I look at it kind of synonymously to electromagnetism. We know that the EM fields exist, even at very small levels, but unless they're organized in a way that is coherent, it doesn't manifest on the macro scale. But when you put things together in the right way, you get copper and you get the right kind of windings and you apply the electricity in a certain manner, all of a sudden we get an electromagnet that can pick up things like cars and with an invisible force. It's not like the electromagnetism was never there. It's just been channeled in a way that makes it apparent in our larger world.
Well, you know, we're talking about fundamental forces in physics now, you know, the bigger elements of nature. Obviously, we know that physicists are striving to find out what dark matter is. Maybe they're looking in the wrong place. Again, like SETI, they're trying to find radio signals from the aliens, and the astrophysicists are trying to find the true component of dark matter. You know, what if consciousness is dark matter? What if consciousness is the thing that manages to bind the universe together? And yeah, I know that sounds exactly like the Force in Star Wars, but that's because George Lucas was using Taoist and Eastern philosophy in order to create his mythology. And that's why the mythology has managed to survive for more than, I don't know, 30, 35 years and will persist to exist after you guys and I are no longer here to watch the movies.
Well, that would imply that consciousness is a physical thing that has, that can be measured. And of course,
consciousness is the thing that for which the physical universe emerges from, not the other way around.
You know, that would be like subjective idealism, which I find really kind of hard to go with personally. But, you know, there's a couple of levels there. I mean, that would either imply that we are the product of some larger consciousness and not actual real beings in and of ourselves, which I don't particularly buy, because I think that we are independently real beings with our own thoughts and minds. And then if we go that route, well, all the evidence suggests that us as individuals, as beings, as a species on this planet have only been on this planet for, you know, a few million years, well, maybe a few tens of millions of years. But compared to the age of the universe, we really haven't been around that long. So what are we saying, that until we came along, none of the universe exists because our minds didn't exist in order to make it a reality? That just seems way too absurd to me. I tend to think, no, the Earth was here long before we were.
Sure. And like you say, because you put ourselves in this scheme of things, like in the pinnacle of consciousness, and I'm not saying that at all. Like, if we were just speculating a few minutes ago of whether the sun was conscious. And now imagine the cells in your body as being conscious. And would you think that the antibodies in your bloodstream, you told them, no, just a tiny part in a larger organisms, they will say, get out of here. You know, that's not the case. We maybe from our perspective, we will think of that as insulting, but for people's proponents of the Gaia hypothesis, you know, of seeing the way that energy and life organizes itself into larger and larger structures, the same way could be with consciousness. So there's a primordial level of consciousness, and from that there are, you know, beings like us, like are a subproduct of consciousness. But that primordial level of consciousness is the one from which the material physical universe emerged from. And this is something that, I don't know, resonates with probably all the ancient religions, even with Christianity. You know, you read the Gospel of St. John, at the beginning was the Word. You know, in the beginning was the Logos, the idea. From the idea, from the primordial sea of consciousness emerged all that there is. And from that primordial sea of consciousness emerged beings like us that are able to be aware of this, that are able to be just like that little bits of foam in the wave or a little bit and say, oh, I'm just a little bit of this ocean, you know, for a little while, and then we return to it, and the sea of consciousness, maybe, you know, in another few billion years will create another universe, you know, another heartbeat.
I can see how that could make sense if we go with the whole idea that consciousness is fundamentally composed of some sort of quanta that we would call consciousness, because it is a fundamental part of nature. And when we get to that level, we don't know how to explain the fundamental forces. And science doesn't know. We might think it knows because we're good at it. We're sort of good at figuring out what the rules are, but we ultimately don't know what, say, imparts a particle with gravity. Like, it's just it's just there.
We have to be very mindful that we are trying to explain these things with our current level of physics, our current, you know, with our current scientific jargon. And maybe in order to actually explain it, we will need to create like 10 new fields of science, right?
That's a good time to break it, because we always seem to think, and this goes back to someone in the patent office said more than 100 years ago, everything has been invented. We always seem to think that we're far more advanced than we really are. Red Pill Junkie, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
As Thanksgiving weekend winds down, 40 million Americans are under winter weather advisories as a major storm approaches. Meteorologist Ivan Cabrera says the upper Midwest will be hit hard.
It's further north where we have the precipitation. It's going to be falling in the form of snowfall, and it is going to come down heavily, I think, at back 12 to 18 inches, certainly likely here across portions of Minnesota and into Wisconsin as well. But notice a sharp cutoff here. So further south, not going to be snow. It's going to be rain and even severe weather potential across the Gulf Coast.
Emergency Management Commissioner Deanne Cristobal says things will get messy in New York City.
You're going to see snow beginning tomorrow morning. It's going to turn into rain later in the afternoon. It's going to stay rainy then through Monday, but turning back to snow going into late Monday morning, early Monday afternoon.
This is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
How would you like to hit the range tomorrow with a brand new gun? Because the United States Concealed Carry Association wants to give you a free gun right now. That's right, completely free. The USCCA is here to give every responsibly armed American the education, training, legal, and financial protection they need. And today, they're giving you not one, but four free chances to win $1,000. Simply text GCN to 87222 to get entered now. And you'll get four free chances to win $1,000 for any gun you want. Text GCN to 87222 and get entered today. But remember, these free guns won't be around forever. And you can't win if you don't enter. So don't miss out. Just text GCN to 87222 and get your four free chances to win now. That's GCN to 87222.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So even now with quantum mechanics and all this stuff, we think we're pretty far along the evolutionary path. And maybe we're just beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we'll never cease to. Maybe we'll journey, we'll never cease.
You know, well, maybe that's something to hit on here. I'm so glad we've got you as a guest today because you are into talking about all this way out there on the fringe stuff. Not everybody goes that far. Like Gene says, you know, MUFON will talk about sighting here, sighting there. This was seen, that was seen, and that's it. But this stuff that we're talking about, this really digs down into what I would call sort of a deeper level of exploring the possibilities of what we're dealing with. Maybe, how about this idea, that when we get into topics like consciousness, we don't know what it is. And there's a branch of philosophy that says we may never know, just like you were saying, Gene. Maybe what's going on with the aliens is that they're trying to figure it out, too.
And
they're looking at us. And maybe it's the case with them that, let's say that, like, going back to the Battlestar Galactica, what if they're some sort of a race of machines, something intelligent, an AI or something like that? Now, intelligence and consciousness are two entirely separate things.
Yes.
We don't know that we can build a supercomputer and that it will be conscious, even if it's really intelligent, because we don't know that microchips and the way that they're designed can facilitate the emergence of consciousness in just the same way that you have to build, you know, back to the electromagnet thing, you have to build an electromagnet in a certain way in order to get magnetism to manifest itself. You can't use, say, fishing line to wrap the coil. It just won't work, right? So maybe you can make a supercomputer with a whole bunch of microchips, but it just won't happen. But that doesn't mean it won't be intelligent. And then they come along and see us. And we start talking about this experience, what it's like to be a human being. And they're going, what is that? What are they talking about? And so they start studying us to try and figure out what we mean by this experience that we call consciousness, and do all these weird things and create all these weird scenarios in order to see how we behave, because they don't get it any other way. If we didn't have consciousness, maybe we would behave more simply like a machine. But because we have consciousness, we have these other related things like intuition and experience and feelings that drive our behavior in a different way than they would expect. Who knows? I mean, what do you think of that?
When you start talking about that, it reminded me of when I was younger and I used to read Anne Rice's vampire novels in the 1990s. And it wasn't just about cool 19th century vampires sucking blood and living forever. They were also touched upon deep philosophical and religious concepts. One of them was the idea that maybe the reason why God created the universe in the first place is because he wanted to find out where he came from.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah,
that's the idea, you know, that the reason why consciousness wanted to create the universe is in order to explore reality.
Its own existence.
From its own existence, from a billion vantage points, a billion points of view, the point of view of me, Red Pill Junkie, the point of view of Randall, the point of view of Gene Steinberg, and otherwise, you know, there's
fascinating.
There's a stagnation, you know, there's no growth.
That could explain a lot, really. Like we're, you know, getting back to the whole red pill, the Matrix, and so on. I remember when I was watching the movie thinking that the whole thing is a matrix. It's not just that there's the world created by the machines. But exactly. then there's this point where the machines come after them in the real world, and somehow Neo is able to stop them with his mind. And at that point, I thought, and they didn't go this direction. I don't know if they ever will, but I couldn't help but think, what if the whole thing is a simulation, the machine world and everything else too?
We have here the machines being created as simulation, which therefore creates another simulation, us, but it can go at higher and higher levels, and we have no idea what those are. Of course, some of the so-called channelers or contactees also say that the beings with which they're in contact say, we are growing to achieve higher levels of existence. And maybe in a rough way, that's what they mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you go into and read spiritualized the texts, you know, the things that mediums was allegedly receiving from discarnate entities. And this is the idea that, the reason why spirits go and inhabit the physical world is because they inhabit this space in which time, in this realm in which time and space don't really exist, right? The eternal now, we could call it. And, yeah, they live in this place of eternal bliss, but in that place nothing really happens. The only way in which there can be evolution in the universe is when you clothe yourself in matter and you submit yourself to restrictions of time and space, to the power of entropy to, you know, deteriorate.
Well, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? If this is all some sort of a construct generated by some, you know, for lack of a better term, some sort of supercomputer or something like that.
Yeah.
Because from the perspective of that machine, there is no distance. There is no space. Mm-hmm. There isn't even really any time until the construct has been created, and then it'll be running, you know, like a program for a certain amount of time, and that's when everything, all of that would come into existence. And yet, if you were part of that simulation, like let's say we are, then you would
maybe run into a number of these paranormal, what we call paranormal phenomena, where time doesn't necessarily seem to work quite like it should sometimes. You get the glitches yes. in the matrix, right? So, and you get things like, I was on this site and I was talking about back in the 70s when two friends of mine and I, we went through what I would later learn paranormal researchers called some kind of a dimensional portal. And to this day, it seems like I came from, and I know this is going to sound crazy to everybody, but it sounds like I came from a parallel universe. It was almost like this one, but not quite. But if the universe is made out of multiple universes,
right.
there are ways that maybe you can cut and paste things from one into the other or provide a channel. You can drag and drop, right? And maybe that's how those things would manifest in our world as some kind of a portal or something.
You know, when you talk about that, I think in my own life where I remember things in a certain way, that's how it happened. I go back later, not quite. Could I have experienced it a different way when it happened?
That's the whole Mandela thing that people talk about, where they suggest that maybe what happened is people do get transferred. We have stories, you know, where people say that, and I don't know the exact story, but I've heard them. You know, a person will be driving along a road, and all of a sudden they'll come upon a village, and it looks like it's full of, you know, 17th century villagers, and it looks like they've just gone into a movie set, and then they wander around for a while, they go out, try to go back to the place, never existed, it wasn't there, it's not on any map, nothing.
Sounds yeah. like a typical episode of something like Outer Limits or Twilight Zone. That was rebooted for CBS All Access. Anyway, yeah. we didn't have Rod Serling, so the show doesn't mean much. Red Pill Junkie, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. Are we real? Strawberry Fields, nothing is... No. Anyway, you're in...
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap. But not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Anyway, we're not real, therefore it doesn't matter what we do. Then we have the theories by some people in the field that this other force, ET, whatever, is genetically mating with us, hybrid beings that will soon take us over. But that's the paranoia, the answer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's...
Well, maybe it's part of this consciousness study. They figure if they can get our genetic material in and make some kind of hybrid, that they'll suddenly gain the ability that we have to perceive the world in the way that we experience it, whereas they don't. You know, maybe that's what that's about. Kind of fits.
Maybe, although, I don't know, I have reached a point in my study of these phenomena in which I feel that a lot of the theories and a lot of the ideas that were spawned by Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs with regards with so-called alien abductions are in need of a very deep revision.
Revision, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might be right.
They were pushing a certain ideology that was injected into the field that propelled the field of ufology into what you're saying and to a level of paranoia that was not very healthy and maybe cost us at least 2 decades of serious study and even managed to infect. It was like a virus. This paranoia that
you're starting to sound like Agent Smith.
Well, yeah, I do think that the idea of memetic viruses that infect whole populations and create a sense of collective paranoia is something that we need to consider. Think about what happened to John Mack, who got into that abduction whirlwind. And not for the better. You read Jacques Vallée's accounts of meeting him and how he behaved, and it didn't sound like a very happy man. It sounded like someone who was deeply conflicted by what he was trying to do, he thought that his credentials would be enough to legitimize the field of alien abduction, and sadly, that wasn't the case at all. In fact, Harvard was about to remove his tenure, and the amount of stress in which he was living, you get the feeling that his death, his accidental death when he was crossing the streets of London and he didn't watch in the right way with the traffic, was almost inevitable, you know, by the way in which
it was tragic.
Because he was a person who really, I believe, honestly tried. And one of our other guests that we've had on from time to time that Gene knows, David Halperin, reminded us about the connection between Mac and his, I believe it was his Jewish heritage. Gene?
I remember vaguely something of that nature, because David Halperin is a scholar of Judaic studies.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
I know that we must be coming up close now towards the end of this show. I want to ask you, Miguel, what sort of experiences have you had? Like, you know, a number of people have had strange experiences. Tell us about a couple of yours that have sort of driven you towards thinking the way that you do, if you've had any.
Well, obviously, like many people interested in this field, I've had my fair share of synchronicities, of sometimes finding things in my studies in a way that seemed beyond coincidental, like watching the documentary Witness of Another World, directed by Alan Stivelman, and the next day, the very next morning, finding something in the journals of Jacques Vallée that reminded me immediately about that movie, and then finding another connection that seemed to bind those things together in a very incredible way. And then I've also had experienced lucid dreamings. That happened when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, and I was reading Carlos Castañeda's books, and I was reading about this idea of going into this dreaming state, and I put it to the test, and guess what? It worked. And that was something that shook me to my core, the idea of being in a dream state but being fully conscious. It's like being transported into an alien world that is inside your own head. It really put into question my notions of reality. And I don't know, other things. Yeah, I've seen a few things in the sky that I couldn't really identify, so I guess they were UFOs, but nothing really that dramatic. Not in that mm-hmm. sense. I'm still waiting to have my close encounter experience. I probably will never get it, and that's fine. But I think that nonetheless, the world is full of these glimpses, like you say, maybe glitches in the matrix that are designed to remind us that what we think of ourselves, what we think about the world, is just a very limited model. And the world is really bigger than that model. And ourselves, we are also bigger than what we think we are and what society tells us that we are. You know, that we are part of the universe, and the universe observing itself. And the universe may be just an atom into an even larger universe.
Do you find that synchronicity plays into your artwork at all?
Oh, for sure. For sure. The more you pay attention to them, the more frequent they become until they are almost commonplace, you know. There are the little asynchronicities, and then there are the real wow synchronicities that really shake you up and propel you into different directions.
Just before we get done with the show, make sure you let us know where some people can find some of your artwork as well.
Thank you. Well, they can check my artwork at my own personal website, absurdbydesign.com. That's where I post commissions or illustrations. I'm open to commissions or if you have some design project that maybe I can help you with. And obviously, they also can check out my articles at the Daily Grail, www.dailygrail.com. I also occasionally write for Mysterious Universe, mysteriousuniverse.org. And I've been lucky enough to be invited in podcasts like Here the Podcast and other podcasts. I'm sure that you've Googled my name. You might find interviews that will be as interesting as this was.
Well, of course, we feel honored when you decide to come here. And it's just too easy to get you on. Maybe you like talking with us. I sure hope so.
This was a lot of fun for sure. Awesome.
You know, you can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. I know that some of the Twitter remarks get taken too seriously, and we can't compete with that, but we try. We're also on Facebook. We have two Facebook areas, the community and the group. One day in the far future, we're going to find out how we can combine them without losing the content, or maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. Now, I should mention here that for subscribers of the Paracast Plus, last week's episode featured not only our UFO update with William Puckett, and that will be this week too, but RPJ, Red Pill Junkie, the one and only, was there for further discussion. I would call that part one of this episode if you want to hear it. It went on for quite a bit of time, just truly fascinating. So what is a Paracast Plus? Well, it's a way that we offer you an enhanced version of this show free of the network ads. We also offer the After the Paracast podcast. We featured some musical renditions from the one, the only, J. Randall Murphy, and there will be more features. So stick with us. Subscriptions start at just $1.50 a week. We offer monthly, annual, 5 years, and lifetime. We're in our sixth year, by the way, of Paracast Plus. And get this. The new address for Paracast Plus is theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Miguel, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, guys. This was a really exciting, all-encompassing conversation.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.